Amen. Good morning, church. Good morning. I want to say I love you before I dismiss the youth group. But before I dismiss the youth group, I want to say something about Pastor Jimmy last week was sharing with us. And I am so impressed with the growth in just his speaking ability. I was super blessed. If you didn't catch that, you can always look at it on our website at jerkoroad.church or a podcast if you know how to subscribe to those. But if you're too old to know what that means, then just check out the website. But Pastor Jimmy, great job. Just totally blessed by the way he kicked this off last week. So, and then we're going to kick him out now. So if you're in the youth group, you're headed up to hang out with Pastor Jimmy. We'll see you later. Have a great one, you guys. I wanted to start here. I'm going to just jump in the verses that he was reading, a couple of them. And then we're going to move on from there in this series, A Walk to Remember. So it started out like this in Matthew chapter 14. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. And then when evening came, the boat was a long way from land. It was beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they're like terrified. And they're like, "Oh, it's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, "Take heart, it is I, don't be afraid." Last week, Pastor Jimmy reminded us that Jesus is always at the center of the storm. You see the storm, Jesus is in the middle of it. When we're surrounded by trouble and fear, know that Jesus is there. Fear of not getting what I want, fear of getting what I don't want, fear of losing the things that I have. And that was some really important stuff that he was talking about last week. Because fear is a really powerful force in our lives, and fear can paralyze us. What's the remedy for fear? He sort of ended with that cliffhanger, right? He said, here's the cure. What's the remedy? Fear of failure, fear of the future, fear of things that are in our past even, or fear of situations that are out of our control, just fear. So what's the solution? Well, our passage isn't over. It continues this way. So Jesus had just said, "Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid." And Peter, he calls out to him and he says this. He says, "Lord, if it's actually you, command me to come to you on the water." And then Jesus says, "Come." So Peter wanted a greater assurance that it wasn't actually a ghost, that it was Jesus himself. So he says this ridiculous phrase, which he clearly hadn't thought through, right? "So in order to prove to me that you're not a ghost, have me walk on water towards you." This is not a really good idea. Like, it's not a functional brain idea, right? But for whatever reason, he was really excited. And so Peter's known as an impulsive disciple. He once rebuked Jesus because Jesus was saying something that went against what Peter was thinking. And he's the disciple who cut off a guy's ear because he thought he was all Braveheart to try to protect Jesus and this kind of stuff. And so Peter's this totally impulsive guy, and we could see it from his statement, right? Everyone's scared and terrified, and he's like, "Yeah, if that's really you, tell me to walk out on the water to you." And then Jesus doesn't bat an eye at this impossible request, but he said, "All right, come." That's not the response he was expecting, right? So he just said, "Okay, oh, you want to see? Come on out here." And so for Peter, it's test time, right? Are you going to put your money where your mouth is? You just like said, like, "Tell me to walk out there in front of all these people," and what's he going to do? We have no idea what prompted Peter to make this proposition, but check out what his faith allowed him to do. So Peter, here's his response. Jesus comes. So Peter gets out of the boat, he walks on water, and he came to Jesus. So we don't know why his brain got ahead of his like reality, but he says this ridiculous thing, and his faith was remarkable. He actually responds to Jesus' invitation to get out of the boat. So what is it like to step out in faith like that? Like, he's got to be thinking, like, is this really going to work? Is this going to be reliable? What the heck is going on? But something prompts him to actually get out of the boat. Can you imagine this moment in reality? Sometimes we look at the Bible like it's a story, like Hansel and Gretel or something like this, a moral thing to prove a point. But we don't think so. We think this is historical narrative recording an event that actually happened. And here's this guy. Can you imagine that moment that you're actually going to get out of a boat in the middle of a lake in the nighttime during a storm, it's dark and cold and crazy, and it may or may not be a ghost of Jesus, and you're going to get out of a boat, you don't have a life vest, and you're going to walk over there. Like in reality, what is that like in reality? In reality, it may be I'm driving at 75 or 80 miles an hour, and you see a picture of Jesus, and he says, open your sunroof and jump out to me. And you're like, okay, whew, you shouldn't have been doing drugs, right? You'll be dead on the highway. That would be a really bad idea. This is an equally really bad idea in all of our rational sort of thinking. But Peter does it anyway. And I'm wondering, like, does he do the toe first? Like, do you test to see if the water is solid? Or does he do one of these, like, cha-boom? Like, I don't know. The video, he thought he sort of toe tests it, right? Or did he just hurdle that edge of the boat and jump out and start walking over to Jesus? Crazy part is, he jumps out of the boat and it works. He literally walks on water. And he comes to Jesus. Can you imagine? He's like, oh, praise God, it worked, right? I didn't die. Have you ever had to step out in faith? Have you ever been challenged in your life to trust that Jesus is who he says he is and that he'll be faithful even when you do something crazy? I was thinking about our missionary, Tommy King, where he stepped out in faith and he quit his business career to go as a missionary. This is in the middle of his like adult life, quit his business career to become a missionary in a dangerous country, so dangerous that we can't even mention its name in case they are listening online at our tiny little church. And then, he just had a beautiful baby girl, and in February, he's going to take that beautiful baby girl back to this dangerous country. Talk about stepping out in faith, right? And that's incredible. Incredible. What is Jesus asking you to step out in faith over, like right now in your life? Maybe you've been considering like actually tithing. Like, I mean the real deal, like 10% of your real income, not just like of 20 or 100 occasionally. But then you wonder, like, how will I pay my bills and will I have enough for retirement? And how about my kids' colleges coming up and the house payment? Is Jesus saying, come, step out in faith and trust me with your finances? Or maybe you've been considering like adoption or foster care. You were dumb enough to go watch that Instant Family and you cried during that movie about the foster care and that sort of stuff. And you've been thinking about it. But what a crazy, scary thing, right? Like, that's a ridiculous thought to do those things, right? It's not for me, possibly, could it be? But maybe, just maybe, Jesus is saying, come. Maybe it's a career change, or maybe it's getting the courage to get professional help for the anger and the depression that you've been trying to hide. Got to step out in faith. Maybe Jesus is saying, come. Maybe it's a change of major. I don't know what it is that he's asking you to step out in faith over. But I think that Jesus is constantly asking us to step out in faith and trust him. What is Jesus asking you to step out in faith over? In our narrative, Peter steps out. And then what a thrill, right? What a rush to step out in faith and to walk on water. Like, oh, it worked. Like, man, that's amazing. Are you going to also step out? Or are you going to sit safely in the boat, exercising no faith at all, risking nothing, and gaining even less? See, the remedy for fear is faith. Faith overcomes fear. In case you thought this was a total success story, watch what happens right next. Peter jumps out, walking to Jesus on the water, coming to him. Yeah, but, oh no, not but. That's the worst word ever, right? Your wife ever say that to you? Hey, honey, you're doing great, but. You're like, oh, dang it. Like, what is it? But when he saw the wind, he got afraid again. And he began to sink. And then he cries out, Lord, like, save me. Man, here he is. Peter literally steps out and he walks on water, and then something happens. Circumstances draw his attention away from Jesus, and fear floods back in, and he sinks. Like, he overcame one fear, getting out of the boat, only to be accosted by another fear. And he allowed the smallness of the waves to overcome the miracle of water walking. Do you see that? Like, he's walking on water, and then what does the wind matter? But isn't that true with us? The renowned New Testament scholar F.F. Bruce writes this. He says, Peter walked on the water, but he feared the wind. Such is human nature, often achieving great things and at fault in the little things. And something amazing's happened, and you get worried about this tiny little thing. This tiny little thing derails our faith when God is doing miraculous things all around us. But what does Peter do again? Get that passage back up there. What does Peter do again? He again demonstrates faith in his response. Right? He calls out to Jesus, who was the provider of the miracle in the first place. And then he says, Jesus, save me again. And Jesus actually does save him again. So Jesus is somehow standing on solid water, pulls Peter to safety, providing another miracle with this water deal. And eventually they get back in the boat. Even as his faith failed in one area, it was firm enough to know that in the middle of trouble, the answer was Jesus. See, he knew it when he got out of the boat. He gets out of the boat, steps out in faith. Something happens to distract him. He starts failing, and then he realizes again, like, oh, man, the provider for this is Jesus, and he calls out to Jesus again. And what does Jesus do? Jesus again is the remedy for fear. Jesus again allows Peter's faith to overcome that fear. So Jesus, here's a passage, continues. Jesus immediately reaches out his hand and he took a hold of him and he says to him, oh man, he almost had it. He said, you little faith, why'd you doubt? Even when Peter failed, Jesus took a hold of him. See, Jesus didn't like, I told you so. Bloop, 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 bloop. Man, you should have had some more. Sorry, bro. Now it's Jesus and the 11 disciples, right? So Peter, we got rid of him. He's a Davy Jones locker in the lake of Gennesaret, right? In the Sea of Galilee. He's dead. That's not what Jesus did. That's not what Jesus did with Peter's faith. Jesus saw him step out, came out to him, gets distracted, sinks down. Jesus grabs him up again, holds him. Jesus takes hold of him when he's sinking. When Peter's faith fails, whose faithfulness does not? Sometimes we think that if my faith fails, then God's totally going to let me go, and that is not the case. And Jesus asks us to step out in faith, but even if you fail as you're doing it, guess who is faithful? Guess who won't fail? Jesus. He's there to save him and protect him and draw him near to him. I would say this is true over and over in our lives as well. Even as we fail and even as our faith falters, Jesus never does. He is always, always there to take hold of us. When we think that we've ruined everything, when we think there's no way out, when we're totally drowning, when faith has fled and all seems lost, Jesus is the remedy for that fear too. Jesus is the remedy for when you don't have any faith, for when you tried it and now it's not working. Jesus is the remedy for that as well. We see that Jesus caught Peter even in, or especially in, the midst of doubt. The trouble wasn't the violence of the wind, nor the life-threatening size of the waves. The trouble was the littleness of his faith. But hold that idea for just a second. Because it's not as if he had no faith. right? He had enough faith to get out of a boat. I don't have that much faith. I'm not getting out of a boat. I'm staying in the boat. I'm that disciple that's like, nope, I'll watch Peter get out of the boat and my faith will be good because I'm like living through Peter, right? He had enough faith to get out of the boat and to walk on water. It's just that something interfered with his faith. His fear interfered with his faith. So we see here that he has both commendable and questionable parts of his actions and his reactions with Jesus. So Peter shows the weakness of little faith. See, here's some of the weaknesses of just having this kind of little faith. Little faith is often found in places where we might expect bigger faith, right? He failed in the little thing. Little faith is apt to have too high of an opinion of its own power. Little faith is too much affected by its surroundings. Little faith is too quick to exaggerate the peril. Ooh. But Peter also shows us their strength in little faith. Like, little faith is true faith. Little faith will obey the word of Jesus, get out of the boat. Little faith walks toward Jesus even in the face of the impossible. Little faith can accomplish great things. Little faith will pray even if it gets itself in trouble. It knows who to turn to. See, Jesus' question here is, why did you doubt? But it's a rhetorical question. He is not actually asking, like, wait, what was the problem? It's more like saying, hey, Peter, man, you doubted. It's almost said, hey, man, you have, what's up with the little faith right there? Why'd you doubt? You were doing it. Why did you doubt? It's a reminder saying that you were doing these things. What happened, Peter? Why'd you let the other worries win? Doubt is a really cool word here in Greek. Doubt means literally two stances or two standings. So if we're two-minded, it's like we were singularly focused and now we're split focused. That's what the word doubt literally means. But true faith is single-mindedly focused. So when Jesus says, why did you doubt? What he's saying is, why did your faith get split so that you were of two stances? So that you were looking at Jesus, but then you were looking at something else. See, that's where the problem lies. The problem lies is that he got two stances. The problem seems to be the creeping up of that doubt, because he started out with a little bit of faith, right? But circumstances brought about doubt. He was afraid. But that, I don't think, even was the root. I think the root is what Jesus says here. I think the root is identified by Jesus as doubt. It's not actually that fear is present. It's not actually that he didn't have enough faith. Because what does Jesus say about little faith? He says, if you have faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could tell a mountain to move and it'll move. So we're not talking about quantity of faith. We're not talking about like he didn't have any faith, because he had when he stepped out, right? And it's not like fears don't happen in life. Jesus is unaware of fears. So fears happen in life. And so Jesus narrows down the problem to say, why did you doubt? Yes, there's fear. Yes, you had some little faith. You were walking and working in that faith, and it was working. Why did you double-mind it? Why did you double-stance it? Why did you get me and then something else? So that's your problem, Peter. You were all good when it was me and you and we were walking together, and the moment that you started to look around and to worry and to think, what about? What if this person? What if this thing? What about over there? That's when the trouble came. See, Jesus is interested in singular faith that focuses on him and him alone and doesn't worry about what's on the right or the left. It's not circumstances. It's not just fear. It's saying those things can be present, but I'm not going to allow them to take my focus off Jesus, which Peter seemed to have allowed. So the question then is, are we any different than that? All right, so Peter gets out of the boat. He had some faith. He steps out. He's doing it. It's working really well. Trouble sort of comes around. Knows he should be looking at Jesus, probably, if you're walking on water, right? But then notices the stuff that's on the left and the right. Notices what's going on. And I wonder if we're any different, right? Things are going really good. We're going to church. We're attending. We've been meeting with Jesus. We've been praying. We're following God faithfully, and it's all good. Something, you know, like, man, I love God. I'm close to him. I feel near to him. And then something happens. Maybe a troubling circumstance, or maybe it's a sickness in the family, or maybe it's a loss of a job. And we immediately run from God. We immediately try to do it on our own, and we end up drowning in our fear and our doubts. This happens over and over to us, right? Then you get through it, you go back to Jesus, you know, oh, Jesus, I knew you were the answer. I'm sorry. And then he fixes it, and you're walking in faith again. And then another circumstance comes, oh, then you get all derailed, and you're drowning again. So you seek God, and he answers you, and then you're doing well again because you're walking with him again. Are we any different than Peter? I think we're exactly like that. Fear and doubt always lurk when we attempt to step out in faith. See, if you're going to step out in faith, fear and doubt are lurking, waiting to divide your attention. Don't allow it. We got to say, no, God, I'm going to stay fixed on you. So what is the remedy for the problem of fear? It's continuing to walk in faith, even if it seems ridiculous. Get our hearts and minds singularly back on God, the provider of the miraculous in the first place. He was the doer of the miracle anyway. Don't turn our attention away, but rather, or even if we do, the remedy is to get our attention back on God. Get our eyes centered back on him. And when fear rears its ugly head, because it will, and even when it wins the day and we sink again, cry out to Jesus. He is then the provider and the protector in the middle of that fear. Peter grows in his faith this very day. I mean, this was an important day for Peter's faith. Now, God is working on him, and we see him sort of change as the Bible progresses in his narrative. But God was working on his faith in this day, because with each success, Jesus can produce faith inside the person. But you know what else? In each failure, Jesus can provide faith. He's also producing that even through the failures, because faith is often uncovered through the mud of doubt as well as the shine of success. So the remedy for fear is faith. And the remedy for doubt is to Jesus. I wanted to alliterate. Jesus alone has the power in any situation, in the middle of the impossible. He alone can transform our doubts and fears. He alone is worthy of our trust and our faith. He alone can cause us to walk on water. And he alone can save us when we can't. In triumph or tragedy, he's there. In the middle of doubt, he reaches in. In the middle of failure, he lifts us up. In the middle of drowning, he gives us breath. All we need to do is just step out in faith and keep our eyes on him and move forward. Don't look to the left or right. Don't worry about the circumstances or the troubles. Just walk toward Jesus. See, with the tiniest of faith, the impossible is possible. The ridiculous is mundane. See, Jesus shatters expectations, and he goes beyond what we can fathom, but only if we step out in faith. Let me pray for us. Father, there are situations in my friends' lives today that necessitate a stepping out in faith. There are stuff that they're facing, that we're facing as a community, that we don't have the answers for, and we want to step out in faith and follow you and not succumb to fear or doubt or worry, but turn again to you. God, you're asking some big things in the hearts of some of our people that will sound ridiculous to their friends. Whether it's giving away amounts of money or adopting children into their home or making a huge life decision or going back on the mission field with your infant daughter. God, you're asking us to step out in faith, and I pray that your people would respond. God, I pray that we would say, yes, God, if it's you, tell us to come. And then we'd hear your voice say, come. And we would step out and walk towards you. Friends, I don't know the things you're going through, but Jesus does. And friends, I cannot help you, but Jesus can. I can't save you, and I can't help you walk on water, but Jesus can. There is nothing too big for him to handle, and nothing too small that he doesn't care about. Every part of you, every particle of you, every thought of you, Jesus is screaming out, come to me and me alone, and it's all good. Let's take a minute, just reflect with God, and then we're going to worship him in a final song.